Let's head to Austin and State Representative District 12, Kyle Cassell, joins us. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, Scott. I don't know what it is. Every time we talk, cold front comes in.
Yeah, I like it. I like having that break. We need to, you know, it's March. It still needs to be a little bit cool, if at all possible. It's going to be 80 degrees on Monday, though, here, I think, in the homeland.
And then we'll have one more freeze before Easter.
There
right?
You go. Gotta do that. Hey, let me get your thoughts on what President Trump said to America on Monday or Tuesday night, whatever night that was.
You know what? He actually looked presidential to me, and, you know, it's kind of... You know, I look at it from what does it do for Texas, and I took two or three things away. The regulation opened it up for the business aspect and our economic growth, and then the stock market responded over 300 points. It was a good day. And then you look at WOTUS and the Waters of the U.S. and what removing that do for rural and agriculture and development. What a great deal. And then his focus, once again, on security and our military. Fort Hood is a big compound as military, and that's going to be good for Texas. So I thought it was a good day for Texas and the United States.
Well, unfortunately, you know, we talked to Bill Flores this morning, and we had talked last week that y'all are going to get some relief from that $800 million that you had to spend the last session for border security, and then next week they start taking a look at Medicaid and how that's going to be presented to the states, and there may be some options there that will benefit Texas as well.
You know, there's opportunity. I'm loving it. I'm sitting here in my office waiting for session, but watching all these appropriation subcommittees, and there's a little optimism running around the building, which is good because our budget's tight based on where oil is today still.
Well, it is, and I know that there's been some talk, at least in the hallways, that you're going to go to state agencies and ask for maybe a 4% across the board cut in their spending. How's that going to be accepted?
Well, it's not been received well by the agencies, by all means, and they're going to stick tight. You know, the budgets, you know, we talked about this earlier, the Senate and the House budget are quite different, and we're getting these appropriation committees, catching up with the Senate Finance Committee, and when we go to conference later in the session, that's when all that's going to take place. So right now, we're making sure the agencies know where they need to cut, how they can, and then that'll give them an opportunity to come back and say, look, we have to have this funding at this level to keep doing what we're doing to make it effective agency. And you've seen that across the board. I mean, obviously, we started with Child Protective Services yesterday. What a great day on both sides of the chamber. A high emergency item from the governor. And, you know, once again, we talked about House couldn't hear bills till day 60. And obviously, yesterday was not day 60, but emergency items have that exception. And proud to be a part of 145-0 and 144-0 vote on HB 4 and 5.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the last time it's been a vote where nobody voted against it. But again, when we're talking about kids, we're talking about a situation where so seldom does good news come out of it. You need to do at least everything you can to try to address those problems.
Absolutely, and those kids deserve it. They've been in a situation that they have no control over. They're being abused, and now the state, you know, making the Child Protective Department of Family and Protective Services a standalone agency is huge, and then making sure our priority is keeping those kids in a kinship care, you know, making sure they go to a family member, if at all possible, instead of a stranger. That was a big day for Children of Texas.
Kyle Cassell joining us from Austin. Tell me, as far as your committee is concerned, what kind of things are you all looking into?
Well, we had natural resources yesterday, so it's nice to get started on water. And when you live in East Texas, I'll give Chairman Larson credit. We spent the majority of the time about talking about all the water Mexico has curtailed from us and looking at that agreement we made many, many moons ago, and it's time to renegotiate that. And I think Trump gives us that opportunity as well. And then we also have some state water issues between us and New Mexico, not letting water get here. So from a Western Texas perspective that spends a lot of time in drought, you know, if we play our cards right, we're going to have some opportunity to get some water back out of the Rio Grande and the Colorado rivers.
Absolutely. Kyle Cassell joining us from Austin. Now, folks may know, may not, that that you have a large ranch and you have hunting that goes on there. And among the things that people hunt there are wild hogs. Now, for a homeowner, a hog is not nearly the same as you might look at it as a business person, but I understand that there's some steps that are being taken now to try to control the wild hog population.
Well, yeah, the hogs became front page center news this week when the Agriculture Commissioner got out in front of this release on the orphan drug and some miscommunications. You know, we've got a fact sheet. The highlight of my week is, you know, I'm fortunate enough that Pig Man is a constituent of mine up there in Limestone County, so I've been on the phone with him. A lot of concerns and misinformation, and we'll have meetings today with different groups, and I'm staring at a petition on my desk right now from the Texas Hog Hunters Association, and it's probably 200 pages long. That's 18 to 2,000 names. We've got to get the right information out there. This drug was released by EPA. The Texas Department of Agriculture released rules through their rulemaking ability, was able to start this program, but we got to get the facts out. There's a feeder that you must have. You have to have a certain level of a pesticide applicator's license to be able to purchase this poison bait. So we're going to work on that and work with all the the hunting outfitters and folks around Texas to make sure we're safe. The grazing regulations, if you use this bait, you can't graze that property for 90 days. So there's a lot of things that didn't get out there that need to be out there, and I don't think it's going to be an immediate use. And, you know, there, we are protected, but we need the public needs to know the facts first. And they did not get out before the headline of all pigs going to heaven.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you, it's the it's interesting because deer have been an annoyance for homeowners who are living out in the country for a long time or as new subdivisions are built. But, man, a deer doesn't do anything like a bunch of hogs running through.
Let me tell you what, I've got hog wire around my home because my wife, I remember when we first put her sprinkler system in, we woke up that next morning, she had no flowers, bushes, and the yard was torn up during somewhat of a dry season, and you put a sprinkler system in, those hogs can find that soft ground quick.
They will do that. Kyle Cassell joins us on Thursdays. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for have a good weekend, and thanks for the time.
It'll be a great weekend. I'll be in Bryan College Station before dark. I thank you, Scott.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.